Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you here on the afternoon drive. And boy, there is plenty to talk about on this Wednesday afternoon. Great mix of both local and national coming up. We'll start by opening it up with the local sports front. And we'll give you more details on this coming up in just a bit. But the USU Eastern Golden Eagle baseball squad, their season, it's over with. They just lost in the opening round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament to Salt Lake about 25 minutes ago. Final score in that one, 12-4. We'll go over the logistics of that in just a minute. A lot brewing on the local sports front, including a suspension handed down from the Utah High School Activities Association. I'm not going to say that this is shocking, like terribly shocking, but it was announced late last night in several media outlets throughout the state of Utah reporting that Summit Academy, it's the same high school that knocked off the Emory Spartans in the 2A state basketball tournament. Their football program has been banned from postseason play after recruiting incidents. Summit Academy will not be eligible for postseason play in football next year. A panel of principals ruled that an incident of recruiting stemmed from a lack of administrative oversight at the 2A charter school's athletic program. So we'll go into detail on that coming up in just a bit as well. Emory is actually slated to open up the season against Summit Academy in football. I believe it's August 19th. And again, we'll tackle this issue in just a bit when we go over the local sports front, as we do at the beginning of every show. But Summit Academy dealt a penalty from the Utah High School Activities Association. Also on the show today, local sports front, we're going to talk to Coach Jimmy Jukes of the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad. He's going to join us here in about 15 minutes. Going to take a break from what's going on. Now, Carbon, yesterday, opened up the Region 12 meet, performed very well. The Lady Dinos, they're in position to potentially grab a region championship. Coach Jukes will take a break from day two, and he'll start talking to us coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. So stay tuned to that. Also on the show today, we're going to talk NFL football. I didn't really get a chance to talk NFL draft, unfortunately. A couple of weeks now, almost 2 weeks since the NFL draft, and we have rookie camps going on. We're going to get Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider's perspective on it. We'll talk Denver Broncos. We'll talk Los Angeles Ram football. Jared Goff, of course. And we'll talk Laramie Tunsil. And we'll throw in some Dallas Cowboy talk as well. I know Jerry Jones is one of the top headlines today because his interest is piqued by Las Vegas grabbing an NFL team. We'll talk NFL football a little bit later on in the show. Let's dive into the national sports front. Bryce Harper has been suspended one game for confronting an umpire. This was announced earlier today by Major League Baseball. Bryce Harper suspended one game, fined an undisclosed sum for confronting an umpire following his ejection from Monday night's game. The reigning MVP, he elected to file an appeal and is in the lineup for tonight's game, series finale against the Tigers, which also happens to be Bryce Harper's MVP bobblehead night at National Park. So he's going to get to play tonight. But during the bottom of the ninth inning of their 5-4 victory over the Tigers on Monday, he was in the dugout when he was ejected by plate umpire Brian Knight after Danny Espinosa was called out on strikes. When someone is tossed from a game in the majors, he's required to leave the dugout. Moments after the ejection, pinch hitter Clint Robinson hit a tie-breaking game-ending home run, and Harper ran out onto the field with his teammates to celebrate. Harper pointed toward Knight and cursed at the umpire. After the game, Harper described what he said. He said a couple of choice words. And because of it, Bryce Harper, you're suspended. He's definitely not going to win the appeal. Eventually, he's going to have to serve a one-game suspension. Let's take a look at the schedule as far as Major League Baseball goes, because today, there is a full slate of baseball games right now. actually going on. We get Cleveland and Houston. This game is tied 3-3, two outs. In the bottom of the 11th inning, Arizona and Colorado, these two teams tied 7-7 in the top of the 8th inning. Middle of the 7th right now, Tampa Bay and Seattle tied 4-4, so some great day baseball. San Francisco with a 4-1 lead over Toronto. That game is in the bottom of the 7th inning. Still plenty of games to come later on this evening. Kansas City will be at New York, 5 p.m. start time there. Detroit at Washington. We get Oakland at Boston, Philly at Atlanta, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, Milwaukee at Miami, all of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6:05 start time, the Padres on the road to take on the Chicago Cubs. St. Louis in the 8 o'clock hour on the road to take on the Angels. And the Mets, they'll be on the road to take on the Dodgers nightcap tonight at 8:30. A couple of finals from earlier today, the Padres and the Cubbies. It was game one of a doubleheader. San Diego takes a 7-4 win. Baltimore tops Minnesota by a final score of 9-2. And Chicago getting the best of Texas. Final score in that one, 6-5. As far as the NBA goes, we continue the playoffs. Last night we had a brilliant game, and we're definitely going to talk about that a little bit later on. The San Antonio Spurs may have missed a golden opportunity. Tonight, two games, Miami at Toronto, 6 p.m. start time there. That series right now, it's tied 2-2, so a very important basketball game tonight. And then Portland, they'll try to keep their season alive as they take on the Golden State Warriors, 8:30 start time that game at Oracle Arena. We're going to pause for just a moment. Local sports front coming up. Plus, we'll talk to Coach Jimmy Jukes and Brian Mejia, our NFL insider. It's all coming up on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Carbon Lady Dino softball squad wrapped up the 2016 regular season last night as they suffered a 4-0 defeat at home to the Juab Wasps, the Region 12 champs. Yesterday marked the second meeting in 4 days between the two teams. Juab won the first one in Juab by a final score of 10-0, so the Lady Dinos did make a little leeway, but they've been shut out their last two games. Now the Lady Dinos will turn their attention to the State 3A tournament, which will get underway later on this week. At this time, it is unknown who the Lady Dinos will go up against. As the current standings sit, the Lady Dinos are 4-4 on the year. That puts them in a tie with Canyon View and just one game behind North Sam Pete in the loss column, as the Hawks have yet to wrap up the regular season. As it stands right now, the Lady Dinos could potentially end up in three different spots. If they end up the 2 seed, they would take on Stansbury. This game would be in St. George on Saturday. If they end up the 3 seed from the region, they would go toe-to-toe with Tooele. That game would be in Bear River. And if they end up the 4 seed, they would have to travel to Grantsville to take on the Cowgirls in the opening round of the state tournament. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more as soon as the seeding becomes official. Speaking of the state tournament, the Carbon Dino baseball team wrapped up the season yesterday as they participated in their annual alumni game, which brings an end to the 2016 regular season. The Dinos will now turn their attention to Saturday, where they will travel on the road for the opening round of the 3A state tournament. Finishing third place in Region 12, Carbon will meet Park City in the opening round of the state tournament. The winner of that game will move on to meet either Juan Diego or Cedar City. Juan Diego is the number 1 seed, so they will play host to the first two rounds of the tournament. A loss for Carbon sends them into the one-loss bracket, where they will face elimination going up against the loser of the Juan Diego-Cedar City contest. Carbon's game is scheduled to begin at 12:30 on Saturday. If they win, they would then play a few hours later at 4 p.m., a loss would send them down to the one-loss bracket for a game that would take place almost immediately following their opening round contest. We continue on with state tournament action for high school sports. The tennis season will come to a close this weekend as Dixie High School in St. George will play host to the final weekend, and the Carbon Dinos will be represented in the singles competition, qualifying for the state tournament. Carbon does have Andrew Richens, who will go toe-to-toe with Matt Morgan of Snow Canyon. This singles tennis match will take place on Friday. Richens is the only member of the Carbon Dinos to qualify for the state tournament. The season for the USU Eastern baseball squad came to a close earlier this afternoon as the team lost 12-4 to Salt Lake Community College in the opening round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference tournament. USU Eastern entered the tournament the number 6 seed, going up against Salt Lake Community College, the number 3 seed. USU Eastern captured a lead in the 3rd inning as Trevor Klingman registered a 2 RBI single through the right side of the field, scoring Austin Pitcher. The inning before, Klingman also brought in Corey McKendrick. Moments later, Austin Gertzen singled to score Klingman. While Wednesday's loss brings an end to the season, the Golden Eagles did experience some success in conference play. They won 11 conference games, and they also won 16 games overall throughout the season. Their final record, 16-41. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll talk to head coach Scott Madsen later on as we wrap up the 2016 season. And we jump back over to the high school ranks, where it was announced yesterday by the Utah High School Activities Association panel that Summit Academy High School football has been banned from postseason play for the upcoming season after recruiting incidents. Summit Academy will not be eligible for postseason play in football after a panel of principals ruled an incident of recruiting stemmed from a lack of administrative oversight in the 2A charter school's athletic program. Also, according to the Utah High School Activities Association, all Summit Academy sports will be placed on probation for the following 2 years. The panel was made up of administrators from 3 public schools, 1 private school, and 1 charter school, and also imposed a fine of $1,500 per incident, totaling $3,000 for the school. The panel will require the school to perform a 3-year compliance audit, and if it finds any incidents of recruiting or undue influence, the case may be reopened for further penalties. The Emory Spartan football team is scheduled to open up the season on August 19th against Summit Academy. The basketball team also suffered a loss to the Summit Academy Bears in the semifinals of the 2A state championship tournament. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Back here on Drive Time Sports, it's time for a Wednesday edition of the Coach's Corner. All of the spring sports seasons are rapidly coming to a close, and then we get that dead time between like late May moving into early August where there's no high school sports. It's just that dead period. This weekend, the tennis season will come to a close. Soccer season is already over for Carbon and Emory. The baseball season state competition will begin this weekend. The Emory Spartan baseball team, they're going to be in action tomorrow, hopefully throughout the entire weekend. We got USU Eastern baseball right now. Their season is about to wrap up. So just a lot of sports dwindling down. We can't forget about the track and field scene. Yesterday, the Emory Spartans participated in the Region 15 meet. Emory did quite well. The Lady Spartans, they finished fourth, I believe. The boys team comes in second, and now they'll prepare for the state meet for those who qualified. Getting set to go into the second day of the track and field competition in Region 12, it's the Carbon Dinos. Now, the Lady Dinos have been spectacular throughout the entire year. Yesterday was day one. They performed quite well. They're hoping that they can duplicate that performance and maybe push Richfield for a region championship. Joining us over the phone right now to talk about day one and what is still to come today, we have Coach Jimmy Jukes of the Carbon Dinos. Coach, as always, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Oh, no, thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Coach, I know it's busy day for you guys. You're actually in a break right now. Second day of region is already underway for you guys. I want you to recap, though, the first day. How did things work out for you?
Well, things went pretty well today. Yesterday, we had some really good things happen. We're setting pretty good on the second day. We had Sarah Morley won the shot put, and then Morgan Hill took third in the shot put. And so that gets your both of those are qualified for state. Caitlin Dimmick took third in the javelin. And our long jump, Sarah took second in the long jump, got beat by a half an inch, just couldn't get her step on. But she's sitting in first in the 100 hurdles today. So we'll see if she can hold on to that today when we run the second day of region.
Now, with all that being said, Coach, for those who are unaware, this is the final meet before we go into the state competition next week. Basically, you got to finish in the top four, right, to qualify?
Yes, you need to be in the top four, or you need to run by time. And so that actually happened yesterday for Jordan Ullman in the 100. She ran a 10.01 and qualified by time yesterday, even though she has finals today, or 13.01, sorry, 13.01.
So when you...
But if they get in the top four... They're right in the mix, so.
How many, realistically, what is the goal for you to qualify for state? How many individuals?
Right now, I mean, we've got quite a few. Our medley relay team qualified on the boys' side yesterday. Our girls' medley team qualified at BYU last week. So, I mean, we're hoping to have, you know, probably, you know, 10 to 15 of the girls and 10 to 15 of the boys qualified. It would be a good number for us.
And, of course, this comes following the BYU Invitational. Now, you guys, I know you'll be heading back to BYU here relatively soon for the state meet. But, Coach, when you go back to this past weekend and you guys go to a stage like that in Provo, how does that help prepare these kids for region, or does it at all?
For region, it doesn't so much. But for the state tournament, it's the only way for them to get ready for the state tournament. Because it's at the state venue, and it's such a different setup than any other track meet that we go to. It gives those kids a chance to get in the bullpen and get some of that work done as far as how to get out on it and compete on their own and do all that kind of stuff. So,
now, I know if we talk basketball, football, baseball, softball, the goal at the beginning of the season, it's always to win a region championship. Is that the same in track and field, or from day one are you hoping to get these kids into state? What's the goal from day one?
Our main goal is to get as many kids to state as we can. Our other goal is to be competitive for region. If we can't compete for a region championship, you know, we're getting really close to having that all in play. You know, I think we're going to probably end up second or third after looking at the first day. Richfield's, you know, depending on what happens today, Richfield's looking really strong. It would be kind of hard for us to catch, but you never know. Strange things happen, and we could be right there.
You know, Richfield's one of those schools that you've talked to me about all year long. I mean, they're just so solid front to back.
They are. They're solid front to back, and they're healthy. I mean, they compete with us very well in everything. They've got two really outstanding girls that can pretty much pull. You know, they can win almost all four of their events, and they're in different events. And so that makes it difficult for us to, you know, to counteract that when they have that kind of talent. And then Right now, we're a little beat up. We've got, you know, Sadie Crompton's got a pulled hamstring right now. So we're hoping that we can get some of that worked out. But she's going to give it a go today, and we'll see where she's at.
Comparing day one to day two, Coach, how did things change up for you as a coach?
You know, we kind of have a better idea of where we're at after day one. And so day two is, you know, we want to try to get through day one with, you know, the least amount of problems we can get, and having that injury kind of hurts us a little bit. But day two is more about just making sure these kids put themselves in those positions to get in that top, you know, top four spots. And you know, and it looks good. You know, a few things go one direction or another direction, and we could have a really good meet. You know, Caitlin Dimmick had a great day yesterday throwing that jab as a freshman. She's got the discus today, and that she may have another great day, and that could really boost us. And it's funny, the kids kind of feed off of that. You know, we've got, today is going to be a little bit about our guys' team. We've got to get our guys' relays qualified today. Derek Hillam and Kyle Quinton have got to get in the top four in either the long jump or in the 200. To give themselves a chance to get to state. And so we got some big things that need to happen today, and it's just we're just hoping that those are the main things we're going to focus on. And then if a region title comes our way in the process of it, then it does. If it doesn't, then we'll not worry about it.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Jimmy Jukes of the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad. Coach, you bring up the guy squad. Seems like all year long, the girls have been very consistent. They've been competing every meet for first place. The guys seem to be like they're breaking the ice. They're very close.
We're young on that guys team, and that's kind of what you expect is when you're young on the guys team like that, they're really, really good. And you got to look that we're not going to graduate that much next year. And so this team is building, and for them to be as competitive as they are right now with where they're at, I mean, Derek Hillam is in the top four of the 400. You know, Kyle Quinton and Derek are really strong in the twos and the ones and long jump. And, you know, this year we've got Peyton Fawcett. I know, granted, we won't have him next year, but he's, you know, in that top tier of the shot put as well. And so this guy's team is just going to continue to get better and better and better. And Gabe Van Dyke's been amazing this year with the 300 hurdles and 110 hurdles, and he's in the finals in both of those today. And so he's already qualified for state in the threes. Him or Donald Olson could potentially qualify in the 110s today.
You know, you bring up all these names. The one thing that does stand out, you guys have depth, and that's something that I know you love as a coach. Yeah, you love that as a coach.
Yes, you do. You love having that kind of depth, and it's nice to be able to turn to kids and be, and, you know, you have to bring your kids all in relays. You can have fresh legs in some of the relays when you're deep like that. And that's kind of, we've had that luxury on both the girls and boys side, and it really helps when it comes to meets, keeping kids fresh, running really good relays, and making that happen.
Well, Coach, I know it's a busy day for you guys. You're getting set for the second day right now, so I definitely do appreciate you taking out the time to give us an update on how day one went. And hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon as we prepare for the state meet.
No, sounds good, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
That's Coach Jimmy Jukes of the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad. Again, right now, Carbon getting set to wrap up the region meet, and then they'll prepare for the state competition next week. We'll have plenty more on that to come in the next few days. We've got to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we haven't really been able to dissect the NFL draft. You know, I was gone out of the studio there for a while, so we didn't have the NFL draft show this year, and then I got back late last week. And so now we can actually start dissecting as these rookies are reporting to rookie camp. One team in particular that I definitely want to talk about today, the Denver Broncos. They grabbed Paxton Lynch with that first-round pick. And a popular name here in the state of Utah, the Broncos grabbed Devontae Booker from the Utah Utes. I think instantly he becomes the best running back out of the Denver backfield. Better than Ronnie Hillman, better than C.J. Anderson. I want to talk about that. Also, the number one pick in the NFL draft, Jared Goff. A lot of similarities between Goff and Alex Smith. At least in my mind, I think Goff has better mechanics. I think Goff has better accuracy, but they both put up numbers in kind of a squirrely offensive set. So we're going to talk a lot of NFL football when we return. We'll bring in our insider Brian Mejia to do that on this Wednesday edition of the show. Plus, we'll get into some more NBA basketball chat here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. It's Drive Time Sports. We're back after this.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM. 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you. We're going to talk NFL football and maybe a little NFL draft with our next guest, Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider, about 2 weeks following the NFL draft. Now that the aftermath has kind of died down, players have reported to their rookie camps. We can talk a little bit about the big storylines. Jared Goff, now the man in Los Angeles. Laremy Tunsil dropping all the way down to number 13. You fast forward even more, the Denver Broncos. They got Paxton Lynch and Devontae Booker. A lot of exciting stuff in the NFL. I want to talk NFL draft because we really haven't had a chance yet on this show. And joining us right now to do it, Brian Mejia. Brian, great to get you on.
Most definitely, Jordan. It's always good to talk to you, and it has been quite a bit. But you know, the draft was pretty exciting a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we'll start. Let's start by talking about the number one overall pick in this draft. To me, there was not a whole lot of, I guess you could say, drama. We knew that Jared Goff was going to be the number one pick. In fact, you came on the show about 2 weeks prior to the draft, and you said it's a done deal. Jared Goff is going to be the number one pick. Why? What was it that stood out that the Rams gave up that much and had no doubt that Jared Goff was their guy?
You know, I think they had to make this move because if you look at the Rams, they are a team that has a great defense. They have a great running back. Their receiving core isn't as great as you'd expect it to be, but, you know, they have pretty good receivers, Savon Austin, Sedmon Bailey. They're pretty good. Obviously, they let go of Jared Cook, but they just needed that signal caller to come in that could, you know, make a difference. And they think it's Jared Goff. You know, a lot of people don't think it's Jared Goff, that he's going to be, you know, if he has an Alex Smith-type career, then the Rams did make a good move because, obviously, if he could get you to the playoffs, then he was worth it. Let's see if Jared could deliver that. The Rams haven't been to the playoffs in quite a while, so I do believe that drafting Jared, they had to make this move. Los Angeles is not going to let you bring in Nick Foles or the other backup.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum.
Yep.
Not going to let you have Case Keenum as your starting quarterback for the first year that you come back to this city. There's no way. So Jared Goff, you know, I know a lot of people weren't too high on him. A lot of people liked Wentz, but I actually thought that the better pick would have been Goff. I just don't trust a guy like Wentz. I know he has all the you know, the measurables and whatnot, but you know, his team, you know, not to say that they weren't playing elite level talent, but they weren't playing elite level talent as the way Jared Goff was in the Pac-12. So, and I saw Jared Goff play a lot of great games in the Pac-12. So,
I think he can step up and be that franchise type quarterback Rams are looking for.
Now, Brian, you're in the heart of L.A. For a lot of people who say they don't know if L.A. will support a football team, I want you to go ahead and talk about the scene at Downtown L.A. Live. It was unbelievable, the turnout that Los Angeles had for one pick. Remember, the Rams only picked once out of the first 2 days of the draft.
Right. And, you know, that's a lot of people, a lot of the booster club here, the Bringback the Los Angeles Rams, the Batemans, they're pretty very nice guys. And, you know, a lot of the Rams fans from here in Los Angeles were there. The Rams representatives were encouraging people to go over to the stage to meet the Rams. And that was cool. I thought that was real cool of them to do that. You know, I thought it was a good thing for the city to see, their professional football team, come out and show that they want the support of the city. And that was cool for the Rams to do that.
Let's move on and talk about some other teams that I believe drafted extremely well. In fact, I believe the Jacksonville Jaguars won the draft. I was blown away by the fact that they got who I say is the best player in this draft in Jalen Ramsey at number 5. They grabbed Miles Jack, a guy that you said you could make an argument of being the best player in the draft. They grab him in the 2nd round, and then they get Sheldon Day in the 3rd round. Jacksonville was fantastic in this draft.
Right. You get 2 of the top 3 players in the draft in the 1st and 2nd round. That changes your franchise. If you just go back a little bit and you go to 2014, the Raiders did the same thing. They got at number 5 the best player in the draft in Khalil Mack, and at the top of the 2nd round, they got Derek Carr. And well, obviously we know how that's going for them. They're on the up and up, and they're going to be a playoff team this year. So the Jags just did the same thing. Obviously, they didn't get a quarterback because they had their quarterback already, but they got 2 of the top 3 players in the draft. And obviously, that's what the Raiders did 2 years ago, and you see how, a lot of people are pegging them as a playoff team this year. So I think the Jags, and I'm just going to say it like this, I do think the Jaguars are going to win the AFC South next year.
I think they got a great chance. I really do. Another team that I think did quite well is the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this isn't a popular decision. A lot of people didn't like the idea of them drafting Ezekiel Elliott with that 4th pick overall. Let me look at this from a backwards. I look at it from a backward standpoint here, Brian. They grabbed Jalen Smith in the 2nd round. If Jalen Smith is healthy, Jalen Smith's a top 3, top 4 pick in this draft. Ezekiel Elliott would have been a steal in the 2nd round. So assuming that Jalen Smith comes back and the Cowboys did their research and their homework and they know that Jalen Smith is going to be healthy, I think the Cowboys did fantastic out of the first 2 rounds as well.
I do too. It wasn't a position they need to draft the running back, but you get the best player available. And obviously Ezekiel Elliott was the best player available at the time. I don't know how high they were on Jalen Ramsey, but obviously they had Zeke on top of him, so I mean, you take them. And then, obviously, like you said, Jalen would have been a top 5 player drafted as well. So they, too, got 2 top 5 players, even though the immediate impact of Jalen Smith is not going to be known, because I don't think he's going to play anytime soon. Well, at least not this year. Maybe if they make the playoffs. But I do think that was a good first 2 rounds for the Cowboys as well.
Again, our guest right now is Brian Mejia, our NFL insider, as we talk the NFL draft. Of course, we were running best of shows during the draft, and now we're back trying to get back into the fill of things. Brian, I don't like to talk about teams that I don't think fared well in the draft because it is a crapshoot, especially when you go rounds 2 through 7. But in your mind, who won this draft outside of Jacksonville, and who's a team that you look at and you say, I'm not too high on what they did?
I was very surprised with what the Titans did in terms of not taking Laramie Tunsil. I was very surprised. And I know the Titans did a good job outside of that. Because, you know what, like you said, it's a crapshoot, and we're not going to get everything right. You know, but I think the Titans should have came up, and they could have gotten the guy that they traded down for, and number one, the guy that they were going to select, they could have gotten him. And it was kind of weird that the Titans didn't go ahead and just do that. But, you know, I was very surprised with that. And I understand what they want to do there in Tennessee, but I was very surprised that they passed on Laramie Tunsil.
The crazy thing is, is they nearly got Tunsil, could have gotten Tunsil with the 15th pick in the draft. That's how far Tunsil dropped. So you bring up Laremy Tunsil, rookies in this draft. Is there anyone out there that has more to prove on and off the field than Tunsil? Because this is a guy that was pegged to be the number one pick in the draft. He drops all the way to 13. I like where he goes in Miami. I think he can succeed there. But is there another player that has more to prove than Laremy Tunsil?
Probably not. Maybe Miles Jack, because he should have been a top five pick. But obviously, Laremy, they try to do him dirty, in other words. They try to make him drop, and whoever did that to him proved this point. And it looks like it was one of his financial advisors, his former financial advisor, and that's not good. It was sad to see. I know a lot of people got joy out of it. I think the commissioner did because he likes the drama, but it was sad to see a kid's, dreams going down the drain a little bit because of a mistake he made a couple years ago. But I don't know. I kind of think that Baltimore should have taken him instead of taking Ronnie Stanley. I know the Ravens were going to take him if that video hadn't surfaced. So I don't understand why these teams didn't take him. And I'll say this: in 2 or 3 years, those teams are going to look back at this and say, wow, we should have just taken him if, you know, nothing's going to happen to him anyway.
Well, I'm a big Ronnie Stanley guy. I like Stanley a lot. I understand the concerns about Ronnie Stanley, but I also understand the concerns about Laremy Tunsil. This is a guy that hasn't exactly done himself a lot of favors. Not only does this picture come out and it affects him, I know it was a mistake that he made a couple of years ago, but Brian, we can go back to just this past year. The guy's got a real knack for being an idiot with his comments, and I think that hurt him as well.
No, believe me, I 110% agree with you, but the only thing that I'm saying is he was an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid,
mm-hmm.
one maybe, and he's developing into a man now, and he's developing into a man that has responsibilities, that's going to be an NFL player. And I understand a lot of people like say, okay, these NFL players, some of them, they don't care about anything, you know, they're just in it for the money or whatever, but, you know, when you look at that talent, and believe me, if Alden Smith wasn't as talented as he is, he wouldn't be in the NFL roster right now.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
You look at the talent, and you say, wait a minute, how can I just let this talent go? And, you know, I just think he was too talented to pass up. And I think, you know, with the proper, you know, because if we really want to say Dez Bryant as well, he probably shouldn't be on an NFL roster right now either, but, you know, the Cowboys, you know, they put a babysitter with him, and he's very talented, and you know, he's working out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a guy like Laremy, he could have just gotten, you know, the proper care with somebody, that, you know, maybe somebody talked to him. Like, in other words, like Jerry Jones a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember this, he basically said, I have to have somebody with Dez at all times because I don't want him
right.
to mess up.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
You could do something like that as well, you know. And, you know, obviously, I think eventually, Jordan, and I'll say this about, it's kind of not, it's on the Laremy Tunsil topic, and it's kind of off it, but I think eventually the league is going to allow for people to, you know, for players to consume marijuana, to smoke marijuana, in other words. Because I do feel, and you know, I have done some research on it, and it kind of does alleviate the pain with, you know, with the head trauma and all that. So I think eventually that can happen, but obviously it's not legal right now.
Brian, before I let you go, I want to jump over and talk about the Denver Broncos. They had a pick in Paxton Lynch. You and I talked about the possibility of Paxton Lynch falling to Denver. I think it's a terrific pick. I think they got their quarterback of the future. And also they grabbed DeVante Booker. Now, this is a very popular pick here in the state of Utah. We all know what DeVante Booker is capable of doing. And instantly, I believe he's the best running back out of the Bronco backfield. I would take him over C.J. Anderson, and I would take him over Ronnie Hillman. I think two offensive picks for the Denver Broncos that will pay off in the future. John Elway strikes again.
Exactly, and that was awesome for Elway. He didn't trade for a Colin Sacker pick. He didn't. He upgraded his running back stable, and I definitely think Paxton's going to be the opening day starter. I think he's going to start over Mark Sanchez. But, you know, he's going to take his lumps, but he's going to be good in the long haul. And obviously Booker, I agree with you. I think John is probably saying to himself, why did I pay C.J. Anderson? I should have just let him go to Miami.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think immediately Devontae Booker is the best running back out of that backfield. I think the Broncos have two rookie starters for the majority of the season, and I think they're going to be just fine. I like the selection. So overall, you're happy with what the Broncos did. You would approve of it.
Most definitely. I think, you know, I still believe that they're going to be second in the AFC West this year, but it's because they lost a lot of pieces on defense.
Yeah,
and I don't know what Von Miller is thinking right now. I don't know what Von Miller is thinking right now, but obviously they're the Super Bowl champs and anything can happen.
Right. Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL Insider. Always a pleasure to get you on the show, Brian. I appreciate you taking out the time to talk a little NFL draft and give us your perspective on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back. We'll talk some NBA basketball. What a thriller last night. Horribly officiated series, however, with Oklahoma City and San Antonio. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome to my house. Play that music.